This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
One thing that I think you just misspoke on. Around here, we refer to Patrick Mahomes by his full name, which is one of the best football players ever, according to Brett Veach, Patrick Mahomes. I don't know if you just sort of like glossed over that.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Rolling on with our Chiefs-Patriots previews here on ESPN Kansas City. I was making a cup of tea during the break for my dying throat. And as I was making a cup of this throat coat tea, I just was sort of glancing at the back. Not that I needed instructions for how to seep a bag of tea, but I just did it, you know. It says, pour 8 ounces freshly boiled water over one tea bag. Cover cup and steep for 10 to 15 minutes. Squeeze tea bag to ensure maximum goodness in your cup. Enjoy up to 3 cups daily, especially good with honey. What happens after the 4th cup? It's not really like a food or drink product to say, hey, you're good with up to 3 servings of our product. Unless something really bad happens after a little too much. So what happens after the 4th cup of throat coat? Does your throat become impenetrable? And then you don't buy any more of their products ever again because you don't need them? Does it destroy your liver because the secret ingredient to this tea is mercury?
I feel like that would be a bad thing.
What happens after? And it also says this statement has not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Like, they're saying up to 3 cups without even going through the FDA. What are we afraid of here, throat coat tea? I'm hoping that it only further heals me. Because again, I will give you the rundown of how the rest of this weekend is going. We're here with you for another hour or so. I'm on Channel 41 in about an hour and a half tonight. Saturday, we've got coverage starting at about 4:30 after KU's basketball game. I will be live out at McFadden's for a rally out there, the KC Live District, in KC Live out of the Power and Light District. So come and party with us out there. Stephen St. John's emceeing the event from the stage. It sounds like everything really, really gets going around 6:30, but I'll be there. Rudy will be there around 4:30 doing a show from inside McFadden. So you can come through and say hello if you would like. That'll take you up to 8 o'clock. We got a bunch of programming taking you throughout the rest of the evening. And then once we hit Sunday morning, we have a ton of Chiefs for you here. Not really, not here. Over there. There on Sports Radio 810. At 2 o'clock, the NFC Championship game kicks off. We got that on 810, Rams at Saints, with Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and Ed Werder. And then after that, yes, broadcast live on 810, we have the AFC Championship game, Patriots at Chiefs, Kevin Kugler, Tony Boselli, and Ross Tucker. That is happening on 810. And then after the game, myself, Brad Porter, Danny Klinkscale with the 810 Chiefs postgame show. Win or lose, we'll be there after the game. And we'll take some calls. We'll hear from the players. And we will tell you what we think either went right or went wrong throughout that game. I think the Chiefs are going to win. I think that postgame show is going to be a very good time. I'm very excited about all of this. But also, what if it doesn't? I've asked this question to a lot of people. I'll ask it to Jay Soderberg, Pod Vader here in, what, Beards? Like, 10 minutes?
Yeah, ish.
Keep me on track, would you, Beards? Keep me on track as far as our timing here. I have been asking, hey, if the Chiefs lose this game, what happens? I've said and will say and if I'm proven wrong, you can laugh at how wrong I was.
But I have said and will be saying, will continue saying, that I don't think the Chiefs lose this game, really can lose this game, with just a full meltdown. Because the Chiefs haven't had an offensive meltdown game. They've had an offensive meltdown quarter, kind of. Sometimes they just don't score every consecutive possession. Maybe if the Chiefs stop if the Patriots stop the Chiefs like first 15 plays or so, and they take away Andy Reid's biggest game planning advantage, if they do all of that, maybe the Chiefs are getting desperate. I don't think they stop them that well, and I don't think that Patrick Mahomes being desperate is necessarily the worst thing in the world. So I'm kind of good with that whole situation. Like, I know it's crazy to say, yep, I'm taking the quarterback starting in his first season in his second career playoff game. I'm taking that quarterback over Bill Belichick's defensive planning. I know I sound like a psychopath when I say it out loud, but I mean it. And I want that. I like that element of this game. I just don't think there is a stopping this offense. Slowing, perhaps, getting a mistake or two out of, perhaps. But then defensively, I think the Chiefs very much intend to do the same thing to the Patriots. Listen, Bob Sutton's not Bill Belichick, and Tom Brady has seen a whole lot more than Patrick Mahomes so far. So he's, you would say, less susceptible to that kind of, rookie mistake, whatever that might be. But with the Chiefs' pass rush and Brady's current tendencies anyway, and the Patriots' general roster construction, I don't think they're going to even try to go downfield all that often. And if they do, I like that in favor of the Chiefs because the pass rush has been so good recently and really throughout the season. The corners still give me a little bit of nerves. I could see that being something where the corners turn into a pumpkin again whenever Tom Brady hits midnight or whatever. I think that's on the table. But more realistically, I think the defense has, and I know that this is what Dirk just said, is what everyone's saying, but I just feel pretty strongly about this. I think the defense has one thing to really, really worry about. And it's Sony Michel averaging like 5.5 yards per carry. It's James White catching 15 passes out of the backfield for 150 yards. That's the concern. Outside of that, I'm feeling pretty good at the moment. Trevor says in the comments section, the next AES could be the Super Bowl edition. Let that sink in. That'd be something. I would enjoy that. Conley says, Barry shoots gaps like Derek Johnson in his prime instead of fighting blockers like some of the other run defenders. I think there's something to that. Eric Barry is playing defense with a vision the rest of this defense simply doesn't seem to have. I do think that he is a very strong advantage for this Chiefs defense. I think it's really good that he's back. Conley also has a conspiracy theory alert that Robert Kraft has influenced the National Weather Service to predict sub-zero temperatures to delay the Chiefs in purchasing tickets and to allow Patriots fans to get their hands on more tickets and try to neutralize the Arrowhead advantage. That's a big one right there. Robert Kraft bribing the National Weather Service. That's a pretty good one. There's also some conversation about how Eric Berry is going to be used in this game, saying since his return, he's been used closer to the line some more. He also played a lot of deep safety, and I get Conley mentions that here against Seattle that he did that. I don't think that's using Eric Berry wrong. I don't think that that's a mistake to play him that way. He is less impactful in the short and intermediate stuff whenever he's playing as a deep safety. I wouldn't use him that way against the Patriots. But against an offense that's happy to go downfield a little more often, like against Seattle, I don't totally mind it. It's just whenever Eric Berry wasn't there, that offense was moving very well in Seattle. I would be pretty surprised, though, to see Barry being used close to the line this week because, again, I think the key is looking at how the Patriots use their running backs both in and out of the technical run game. We're also getting an emergency alert right now on DirecTV. It says required weekly test, but we have DirecTV on in here from 4 to 6 literally every single day. I've never seen this before. It said that the test for all of California. Because can you Google really quick where we're currently at?
Might be a pocket dimension.
Interesting.
It's like whenever we walk into the doors to the studio, we're just suddenly in California.
I would explain my shirt.
And the hair.
It's fair. And the Chiefs being the Super Bowl. It's a we're in California on like Earth 7. It would also explain whenever I leave the studio and talk about the Chiefs being good, people just start laughing.
Yeah.
I didn't actually get into Arrowhead today. I just banged on the doors, and they said, kid, we haven't had a game here in a decade. Google London Chiefs whenever you leave the studio today, Beards. Just curious. It did look like kind of like the Roman Coliseum. It was falling apart.
Chris has pointed out Brady has two middle names, and one of them is Patrick, Chiefs by 50.
Wait a second, what? Tom Brady, full name. My hope is that his name is Thomas Patrick Mahomes Brady. Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. Do you know he was a junior?
I did not.
I would say I think Edward Brady or Thomas Patrick Brady. Thomas Brady Jr., those guys are not Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Thomas Brady Jr. is not winning you Super Bowls. I'm like Patrick Mahomes II, who very clearly is. Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr., you learn something new every day. I have a better... This is great. Do you know what Robert Gronkowski's middle name is?
69.
He doesn't have one. I'm upset that his name is Rob because I like to imagine that his full name is Robert. Because I like to imagine that whenever he was born, his dad just went, Rob! And that was just it. Or just like call him Gronk Gronkowski. That'd be pretty good. That's a great stat. It's a great fact. Is it a stat that Thomas Brady has a middle name, two middle names, and one of them is Patrick?
I wouldn't call that a stat, no.
Mahomes is now back in my line of sight. Shane has moved him in here. He was back there earlier. Facebook Live has got to be loving the extra little glance at Pat Mahomes. I'm loving the extra little glance at Pat Mahomes. Are we due for break, Beards? Is it time to get out of here?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, so here's what the rest of the show sounds like. We are getting an enemy perspective with Jay Soderberg, also known as Pod Vader, a podcast founding father at ESPN, also now host of the Next Fan Up podcast. We talked to him back before this game earlier this year against the Patriots. We talked to him again now whenever we come back here on Almost Entirely Sports.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Comparing him to Alex Smith is sort of unfair to Alex Smith at this point because Patrick Mahomes is an alien and Alex Smith is a very good human being at playing quarterback. I mean, also in general. But, like, Alex Smith is, like, the best of the humans and Patrick Mahomes is freaking Anakin doing the pod racing. Like, some other humans just can't do it like that. How's that for a reference?
It's all those midichlorians.
All those midichlorians. Patrick Mahomes... Obi-Wan Mahomi is packed with those midichlorians.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
It's time to go across enemy lines. Going up east, I guess north. I could have just said north and east. That would have made more sense than up. We're going to the New England side of the conversation here. With, I dare say, friend, Patriots friend, but I use, that is a, Maybe not this week, Jay. We're talking to Jay Soderberg, Pod Vader, as you may know him. He's on Twitter, at TheRealPodVader. He's got the Next Fan Up podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. We got to talk about the Chiefs and the Patriots a couple of months ago. How are you feeling right now, though?
I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm feeling confident, but I'm feeling quite okay. You know, I'm excited. I'm anxious. As a man who treasures his time, I don't wish that Sunday were here already, but wish Sunday were here already.
Yeah. Okay, well, so I do too, mainly just so we could skip over the Patriots playing the underdog card all week. I am so over that already. Please, please justify that for me. I beg you.
Josh, I don't know if you've been on Twitter or any social media at all this week, but there's this meme going around where there's a picture of the United States.
Yeah.
And it's got this giant Kansas City arrow on it.
Uh-huh.
And then there's this little linky-dinky little, you know, flying Elvis up in, like, the upper right-hand corner. And then it's really, really small. You gotta, like, use a magnifying glass to find it. So, yeah, they have every right to play the underdog.
Such a weak justification! People are rooting against the Patriots, not all picking against the Patriots.
Oh, they hate us because they ain't us.
God.
We are the underdogs. Technically, Vegas has decided that 3 points are in the Patriots' favor. So we are technically underdogs.
Yes, technically. You know what I would have preferred? If Julian Edelman would have tweeted hashtag we're technically underdogs, I would be so good with it. I would have bought that hashtag we're technically underdogs t-shirt, man. That would have been fine. This is not that.
I have to admit, I watched his hype video, and I don't get it.
It was mostly Chiefs stuff. I felt I was hyped, but I had nothing to do with the Patriots. I was just like, oh, yeah, Tyreek Hill. Yeah, this is great. I'm excited.
Yeah, I was like, huh? What? Yeah, I didn't get it.
What is the actual... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, getting down to the actual... This is one of those games, and I said this on my podcast, that this is one of those games I will not have amnesia if the Patriots lose. Like, this is going to be a knock-em-out, drag-em-out fight between two very equal teams. I think you've got the youngster whom I'm still waiting for that bottom to fall out.
Right.
It's going to happen. That happens, right?
Yeah, sure.
You know, it just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen.
Right.
It's a very interesting game from so many different perspectives. I think this game really is going to come down to the two tight ends. And the two tight ends have been compared to each other for a number of years now. So to me, if Gronk can be the Gronk of old, he's going to be the big difference maker in this one. And I am very, very worried that the Patriots are going to decide that Tyreek Hill, the cheetah, is the one that they've got to sort of take away. He's going to be the one good thing that, you know, Belichick takes away from you.
Right.
But that leaves Travis Kelce, and that is a huge weakness for the Patriots.
So that's really interesting. First of all, I'd put my money on not the Gronk of old, but just the old Gronk. Like, I just think that we have Gronk the old. That's like his Game of Thrones name. Which, by the way, like, if he wanted to get a cameo on the last season of Game of Thrones, I feel like he's pretty much already there, like, with, the buzz cut. I think that works. It's interesting that you would say that Travis Kelce's your biggest concern, because it seems like for years past now, Belichick usually starts with Kelce, now that he hasn't had an offense with this many weapons for most of those meetings. But you still think that Kelce's the game changer for the Chiefs offense, and you still think that Belichick might actually leave Kelce as not the main concern for this offense?
Not so much that it's not the main concern, because I think, it's pretty clear to me that the offense runs through Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and because of those two, it opens up things for the running game.
Yeah.
And I think, ultimately the Patriots defense, this just in, hasn't been all that great this year.
Yeah.
And if Belichick is going to do his typical, we're going to take the one good thing you do away, mm-hmm. I think they have to focus more on Tyreek Hill than they do on Travis Kelce. And the only reason why I say that is because while Patrick Chung hasn't been the Patrick Chung of old, he's also Patrick Chung the old. He's still probably our best bet in man-to-man coverage on Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. And we're going to need Devin McCourty and Stephon Gilmore, or Devin McCourty and J.C. Jackson, to bracket Tyreek Hill. I will tell you, one of the formations that I'm really concerned about is if you put Tyreek Hill in the backfield and you're running that jet sweep stuff, mm-hmm. and he's, you know, and now we've got to worry about the front line and the linebacker. Our linebackers are slow. They can sit there and complain like, oh, we heard everybody says we're slow. Well, you are slow.
Mm-hmm.
There's no getting around that. And there's no way any of those linebackers are going to be able to contain Tyreek Hill. So that can only be done with members of our secondary. If we're taking away members of our secondary to take out Tyreek Hill, that leaves Travis Kelce in one-on-one. And I think he'll win those matchups more times than not.
I think that sounds great to me. I love how that whole play panned out there. I like the ending of that one. But it always eventually also something goes back to Belichick. Like, there's always the expectation that he's going to do something. And to his credit, it wasn't a blowout by any stretch. In fact, it was a nail biter. But last time these two teams met, he did get a bad first half out of Patrick Mahomes. It might have been, to this day, his worst half of professional football. The second half, he bounced back. But if the Patriots could get a lead and then really continue to work with that run game, which we could talk about in a second, that feels like a way that the Patriots are going to could put this game away. Do you expect, with what you've seen from Mahomes, what you've seen from Belichick over years and years and years, do you expect Belichick to have something for Patrick Mahomes this week?
My concern is that since we've already seen each other once, mm-hmm. that whatever he's got for Mahomes, Mahomes has already seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so really it's how well is Mahomes doing his homework mm-hmm. on that game?
Mm-hmm.
How much is he retaining from what he saw in that first half from the Patriots and understanding, oh, this is what's going to happen when they line up this way. Oh, this is what it means when this guy's over here. Like, how much of that is he going to be able to retain and cram this week? And I think that's why if Mahomes beats the Patriots this week, it's such a huge deal because it really is next-level football for him.
That's a fascinating thing to watch for, and I'll be doing that now. Let's talk about your side's quarterback. I will start with all of the respect in the world that I have for Tom Brady, where all of the times that he has broken my heart or made me pull my hair out, he's the best or one of the three best things I've ever seen at the position, bar none. But he is, as he ages, losing elements of his game, by my eyes. Feel free to tell me to go to hell. But it seems like the deep ball's not there, and also the Patriots don't have those deep threats in earnest. Like, Philip Dorsett isn't really that guy after losing Josh Gordon and all of that. What is your best assessment of Tom Brady's game at this point in his career?
Tom Brady never had a deep ball. It was always covered up by the fact that Randy Moss was the greatest deep ball catcher in the history of the game.
Interesting.
Tom Brady from day one, I mean, go all the way back to 2001, I used to complain all the time, the guy can't complete a pass past 10 yards down the field. And he still has that trouble.
Mm-hmm.
He's always had that trouble. He got better for a little while, and then, like I said, Randy Moss covered up a lot of those warts. And the mm-hmm. game plan never really dictates the Patriots chucking it deep down the field.
Mm-hmm.
He, for whatever reason, when Brandon Cooks was on the team, he liked to do that. It didn't make a lot of sense. He doesn't have to, though.
Right.
And much like the game plan against the Chargers last week, where James White ended up catching 15 balls,
yep.
I suspect we're going to see a lot of that again this week with quick passes to a lot of his underneath guys, to James White, to Julian Edelman, to Gronk, to Sony Michel. That's the one aspect of the game in Sony Michel that hasn't really been talked a lot about. The guy was the change of down back in Georgia. He can catch the ball. He's just been used more as an every down back in New England, as more of the workhorse back than he was in Georgia. So that's something that I think will come into play. I think you're going to see a lot of two-back sets with James White and Sony Michel, along with Gronk and Edelman, and then you sprinkle in a little bit of Philip Dorsett. We use Cordero Patterson on our jet sweeps, and while he's not as fast as Tyreek Hill, he is one of our faster guys, and he's a bigger guy. You know, he's almost a tight end-sized receiver running back when he gets that ball in that set. So I think we're going to see a lot of that too. That's what's fascinating about this game is there are so many different matchups to watch where both teams, I think, can hang. And ultimately, the team that has the lead at halftime, I think, is going to win the game.
That's interesting. And I think I'd probably buy into that. It's crazy, but it does seem like the Chiefs would have the better like comeback potential because of the way that you just described everything the Patriots are doing offensively right now, where if they're allowed to do all of that, like they will just score every single drive, and this game will be high scoring, and it'll be a mess of all sorts. But the offenses will look very different. If you had to create a counter to that offense with all of this short stuff, all of this precision, what would you be doing if you were in the Chiefs' shoes trying to stop that defensively?
I would be looking to try and get the best linebackers I can for next year. I mean, at this point, there's not a heck of a lot you can do. I think, you know, our Chiefs superfan on our podcast, you know, mentioned how great your rush is, how great your front line is, and that's fantastic. But Brady just faced Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, and to the point where Joey Bosa after the game was like, dude, that guy gets the ball out so fast. 2.3 seconds was his average release time in the game against the Chargers. You're not getting to the quarterback in 2.3 seconds. I don't care how fast your pass rush is or how good your pass rush is. The other thing is the Patriots offensive line isn't talked about as one of the greatest, but it really is one of the best in the NFL. You know, Trent Brown at left tackle has been fantastic. Shaq Mason, I believe, is a Pro Bowler, and if he's not, he should be. You know, they've got some talent. You know, David Andrews at the center position has been underrated. So they've got some talent on that offensive line, and they can really protect Brady. They give him just enough time to do the things he's got to do, and he's got enough guys, like I mentioned, in that short passing game where he can get rid of that ball rather quickly, and then they can go and make a play. So to me, you've got to try and play some press man-to-man and be in those lanes, you know, try and get those hands up, knock that ball down. If you can get to Brady, you got to get that pressure up the middle. They've said that for years. For whatever reason, people don't do it, mostly because they can't.
Right.
You know, that's going to be the key to this game for the Chiefs defense.
I'm so fascinated by all of that because so much of it, like, it not to just be like optimistic here, but it's stuff the Chiefs just did really well against the Colts. They dominated, really, a fantastic offensive line. You look at interior pressure. Chris Jones has been the second. Aaron Donald has been the moon blocking out the sun of Chris Jones. Or maybe it's inverse, probably. Aaron Donald has been the sun blocking out the moon that has been Chris Jones as an interior pass rusher in the NFL this year. All of that, like, and getting their hands up. They had a bajillion batted balls. That's actually in the box score, a bajillion, against the Colts last week. Like, it seems like stuff that the Chiefs can do, but I 100% acknowledge the edge rushers are going to have a very hard time getting there that quickly because Tom Brady still, like, it all happens in an instant. Like, it's this, like, circular time stuff that, like, in Arrival, which was a great movie, by the way. I think I've spoiled part of it now, but the movie Arrival was excellent. It came out several years ago. You can't be mad. No spoiler alert. But I understand that's extremely hard to disrupt.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. Super excited to see what happens. And, of course, there's always the chance that the kickers end up coming and getting involved in this. Mm-hmm. And if that Arctic blast is going to affect anyone, it's going to be the kicking ball and the kicking game.
Yeah.
And so that would be the only area where I think the Arctic blast comes into play. Why are people bringing up the weather about this? You're talking about New England, a team that lives in the Arctic, for crying out loud, for three quarters of the year.
Yeah, I don't get it. Tom Brady wears a wetsuit for like half of the season every year. Patrick Mahomes, like, the offense was great against the Colts and it was snowing. It's not going to be snowing this weekend. I don't know. People like talking about the weather, I guess. That's the true mystery. All right, the last thing I want to get from you, I guess, is you've already talked about the running game, but so I don't want to just ask what the Patriots are best at right now, but what's something that we haven't touched on that you think could be an X factor, something that doesn't get brought up in your average, 30-second breakdown of the Patriots or whatever?
I wish I could give the credit to the person that brought this up to me, but one of the things that I heard over the past week was the Patriots are one of the best teams at playing possum. And leading up to the playoff game last week, the guy that had been missing in the month of December was James White.
Mm-hmm.
I had said going into the game against the Chargers, this has to be a James White game for the Patriots to win. And sure enough, James White ties a record for postseason catches in a single game, and lo and behold, the Patriots win. The guy that's playing possum right now is Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
We've made the jokes. He's Gronk the old, but he's done it before, and I think he can do it again. And the one catch he did have in the game against the Chargers last week, he Gronked three guys.
Yeah.
He hit one, he went down. He hit two, and that guy went down. And the third guy finally got to Gronk, but that guy took some punishment too at the same time. So the possum here is Rob Gronkowski. I really think that this is going to be Gronk's game to win for the Patriots.
Interesting. I love it. Do you think that comes through?
I think it does, but I think it's going to be 33-32. I think it's coming down to it'll come down to the wire. It's going to come down to the end of the game, and like I said, if the Chiefs have the lead at halftime, I don't think that the Patriots will do enough to surpass them by the end of the game. But I also think vice versa. I think if the Patriots have the lead at halftime, I don't think the Chiefs will be able to catch up to the Patriots. They'll be able to keep pace. So basically, whoever's got that lead at halftime, congratulations, you're on to the Super Bowl.
I love that. I love that so much. Cut us a promo for Next Fan Up. Tell everybody what it's about, how it works, and everything.
We've got 32 super fans all representing their representative NFL team. We talk about things that fans talk about. This week's episode, not only do we break down the NFL championship games in depth, but we also talk about the top 25 free agents, according to NFL.com. Mm-hmm. And they have a very surprising quarterback on that list as their top quarterback free agent. Next Fan Up, anywhere podcasts are heard.
I want to ask you so bad who it is, but I don't want you to say. I want people to go listen to Next Fan Up. So I guess go listen to the show and find out who that is. That's such a good tease. You are a radio professional, Pod Vader.
You might think I've done this once or twice before.
You might have. Thanks. It's always good to talk to you. I'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Josh.
Jay Soderbergh, Pod Vader, at The Real Pod Vader on Twitter. If you don't know why he's called Pod Vader, I imagine this would be really strange. He was the Vader of the pods. ESPN, back in the early podcasting empire days, he was the Dark Overlord. And just always producing the best stuff. The name Pod Vader now travels with him. The real name being Jay Soderbergh, but he's Pod Vader on Next Fan Up, which is where you should be checking out a good look, a fun look at the rest of the NFL, getting super fans in to talk to Pod about their teams, everything going around the rest of the league. It's a lot of fun. You should go check it out. Thanks again to Jay for being on the show. You can follow him at The Real Pod Vader. We'll be back after this.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Something, something, Patrick Mahomes sexy deep ball.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Welcome back in.
It's almost over. Let the Drake song sing you to sleep, the long sleep, before being awoken, not just for the game on Sunday, which I would assume you'd like to be awake for, but for two things worth noting. If you're listening live right now, I'm going to pop up on channel 41 on your local radio TV dial. TV, not radio. 41 is not a radio signal. I'll be on channel 41 here in like 30 minutes, so that's very exciting. Maybe 40, I don't know. Come hang out over there. It's not really a Sunday sound off because it's a Friday sound off, but that'll be a lot of fun, so come check that out if you can. Also, tomorrow down at P&L, the Chiefs are having a rally of sorts that our fingerprints here at ESPN Kansas City and Sports Radio 810 will be all over. So come down tomorrow to the pregame party at the Power and Light District. There's going to be Casey Wolf, Chiefs cheerleaders, Chiefs Rumble, the last chance to win some autographed items, Chiefs gear, tickets to the game, field passes to the game. It's brought to you by Sports Radio 810, Heartland Coca-Cola, and the Kansas City Power and Light District, inviting you to a free pregame celebration at Kansas City Live. All the stuff I just told you. I will be personally broadcasting live from McFadden's down there at the KC Live District. We'll be going live as soon as KU wraps up, so 4:30 or so, and going all the way until 8 o'clock. The actual festivities for the rally altogether begins at 5. Stephen St. John is emceeing the event. I will be posted up in McFadden's getting you ready for all sorts of Chiefs action, so that'll be a lot of fun. Also, it's free. All ages are welcome. The first 200 guests will receive an official Chiefs Kingdom flag. 810's registering guests for tickets to win the tickets to the game and all of that memorabilia, autographed memorabilia that I mentioned earlier. Heartland Coca-Cola is giving away a pair of field passes. You can also board the KC streetcar at Union Station around 5:30, where the Chiefs Rumble will perform at the East Transit Plaza location. They'll head onto the Chiefs streetcar, where they'll perform entertain riders all the way to the Power and Light District. So come through. Stephen St. John's kicking off the rally at 6:30 on the KC Live stage with hype videos, performances from the cheerleaders, KC Wolf, and Chiefs Rumble. The full timeline down here. It's just get there. You can get there 5, 6:30, somewhere in there. I will begin broadcasting at McFadden's at 4:30. I'll be there till 8. So if you do come through and you're looking for a place to get ready for the game, come by and stick your head in McFadden's. It'll be me and Rudy out there tomorrow night hanging out at McFadden's doing the show. So, I mean, listen, if I'm deeply enthralled in some topic of some sort, probably shrieking about Patrick Mahomes. I mean, wait, you know, until we hit a commercial break and then come say hi. We can take a picture. Whatever. It's up to you. I'm sure we'll have a few goodies to give away also. So come through. There's a bar crawl going on at the pregame party. You can look for tickets at that at Ticketfly, or you can get them at the event for $25. Sunday, if you're looking for a place to watch the game itself, come out with fellow supporters at the KC Live Big Screen. It is a very fun place to watch sporting events. I've done that before. It's a very good time around Big 12 tournament and all that. But if you want to watch the Chiefs ASU Championship game on the biggest screen in town that's, I'm sure, showing it, I don't know if that's factually correct. That's just sort of me throwing in, you know, a plausible fact at you. Head out to KCP&L on Sunday. Area bars are going to be full of Chiefs fans. It's going to be crazy. Admission for that is free also. So that's the deal. Come by the pregame party at Kansas City Live, the Power and Light District, brought to you by Sports Radio 810 and everyone else we mentioned already. I'll be broadcasting McFadden's starting at 4:30 or whenever KU coverage wraps up on Sports Radio 810. So there's the spiel. You've got that. Take that information. Put it in your pocket. Enjoy it. Treasure it forever. And here's what I'll leave you with. I mean, I'm going to give you kind of the final word, and we'll go through that and a lot more again tomorrow. But for the almost entirely sports loyalists, everybody who is only going to be getting their thoughts and predictions from this very show, not me in all platforms, here's what I think you need to be keeping an eye out for. Mentioned this earlier, but throughout the day today out at Arrowhead, the Chiefs were constantly talking about how hard it is to get to Tom Brady because he gets rid of the ball really fast. That offensive line is good, but Tom Brady is great. and he's great at immediately getting rid of the football. So that's going to be something the Chiefs have to be extremely aware of, and you figure out, well, how do you deal with that then? You have to be physical with these receivers at the line of scrimmage. You have to be able to rattle Julian Edelman and just give a little bit of pushback to Rob Gronkowski. You have to be able to take Chris Hogan and Philip Dorsett and knock the rhythm out of this offense. James White is going to be the fascinating one. Whenever he's in, they're probably throwing it. Whenever Sony Michel is in, they're probably running it. That's been statistically proven throughout this season. So how do those guys impact it? That's also obvious. You cannot let James White beat you. You cannot let Sony Michel beat you, because he's going to run the football whenever he's in there. I cannot hammer this enough. You can't let James White go 20 receptions for 200 yards. This cannot be how this game unfolds. So figuring out how to manage all of that, I think to play to the Chiefs' strength and also to a weakness of the Patriots, let it be the physicality. Those receivers are physical on their own, but to knock the rhythm off, I think that's the only way to do it. So you do that in the secondary, and then it allows that pass rush an extra beat to get to Brady, and all of a sudden he's going to start looking extremely human. He's not going to be the robot that he's been for the last decade and change, really almost two now. Excuse me. Let Brady do the math after the snap. He'll be great at that because he's great and he's Tom Brady. But if you are going to beat the Patriots, that's what it's going to look like. Bob Sutton said it yesterday. I thought it was a pretty interesting phrasing. You can't give him the answers to the test before the test. He has the answers. He knows how to read defenses before the snap. He will punish you if you don't make him guess. You've got to make him guess before the snap and then give him something he wasn't expecting after it. At that point, at the very least, you can reasonably expect that it's going to spend enough, it's going to be enough time in the pocket for Brady that pass rush, as good as it is and it has been all year, as good as the pass rush has been, at that point, I think it's totally reasonable to expect the pass rush to get to Brady and to affect Tom Brady. And if that all happens, the Chiefs are going to win this game by like 20. I think they're going to do that a certain relatively significant amount of the time. I will say this, a Patriots domination in this game would surprise me more than a Chiefs one. I know that sounds insane. Because for the Patriots, I also know how it happens, right? It's just handing the ball off and Sonny Michel a lot and James White a lot. But that would also imply the offense can't get going. And if there's going to be one team that dominates both sides of the ball, I think it's the Chiefs. If they can give Brady just a little bit of interference before the snap, after the snap, they have advantages in more places than the Patriots do, honestly, even counting Brady in that. So that's hugely important. Tom Brady gets rid of the ball really fast. The Chiefs have to push back on that. The Chiefs have to be able to give him enough to calculate that it takes him a minute to figure out where he's going to go with the ball, and Chris Jones is here now. And if Chris Jones can bring the middle of that pocket up before Brady can be expecting it, Brady might just drop. He might just fall over. And if it's not that, then he'll try to take a few steps out of the pocket. At that point, you have to believe that Ford and Houston are there. Something else that came up at Arrowhead today was, now I'm trying to, I think it was D. Ford at the end, who said, you know, we only got to Derek Carr something like five times. He said, and we got sacks three of those. Approximations are his, and then I'm trying to remember it to the best of my ability, but it was something like that from D. Ford. I thought that was really interesting. He said, so whenever we got there, we were really glad we'd been going all day. We didn't get there very often, but whenever we did, it was punishing. And that's huge. I think it's the right mindset for that pass rush to have. The other thing, defensively, is that Eric Berry is back. We've been talking about this. I fully expect him to start. I fully expect him to play
pretty much all of the game. He's not even on the injury report. He's not even questionable. He's just playing. And again, that's the thing through the whole injury report. LDT, Spencer Ware, Eric Berry, not even with a game day designation. Dorian O'Daniel's out. That is the only guy between these two teams that is on the injury report right now, which is crazy. We're going to get like a fully healthy AFC Championship game. It's incredible. But Eric Berry being back is obviously a big deal. How big of a deal is it? Yeah, we've been talking about this for a while now, but going through it all this many times, as much as we've done it throughout this season, I continually get struck by what he looked like against the Chargers, out there moving the rest of the defense around, out there completely owning the defense schematically, being a defensive coordinator, and also being probably the best defensive player, at least in that secondary. I think it's really going to matter, and I think it's a huge boost to the Chiefs. Offensively, it's Patrick Mahomes. Good luck. And that's paired with, what do the Patriots try to stop? Belichick is always trying to take a guy away. We just talked to Jay Soderberg about this. It's always somebody, right? The Patriots and Belichick already always target somebody. It's usually been Travis Kelce. This week, if it is Travis Kelce, I think Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins are going to have monster games. If it's not Travis Kelce, then Kelce will. That's the place to be right now. And I have been all in on Patrick Mahomes since before the draft. I have no inclination to stop doing that now. In 2019, this year alone, the Chiefs have the better quarterback in this game. And it's not even been close. Again, from talking to Jay a little bit ago, I was startled to hear him say that Tom Brady has never really had the deep ball. But Randy Moss gave Tom Brady a deep ball. I thought that was really interesting. I'll take his word for it. He certainly doesn't have it right now. So make Brady go downfield against you and see if that helps you win as a defense. That is a very bad strategy if you're going up against Patrick Mahomes. Going up against Patrick Mahomes means pray to God that he doesn't go downfield. Otherwise, you are in serious trouble. I will say, I think the Patriots are in very real trouble. I don't know who the Patriots try to stop, because I think whoever they try to stop is not stopped. I think Mahomes and Andy Reid, even if it is another slowish start, which I am less inclined to buy into the second time that this duo faces Bill Belichick, even if this is a slow start for the Chiefs' offense again, I imagine that Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid will very, very quickly pivot to figuring out where their advantages are, where their matchups are, and the Chiefs have a lot of them. I hope you're excited about this game. I'm extremely excited about this game, even as I lose my voice slightly. Don't mistake growling for a lack of excitement. I'm really, really excited, and I'm getting more and more confident every second that the Chiefs are going to win this game. You don't have to have the same confidence, but I hope you have the same excitement. If you want more of these dulcet tones, again, we're out at McFadden's tomorrow night, and we have the post-game show immediately after the game on Sports Radio 810. Myself, Brad Porter, Danny Klinkscale, whenever that game ends, win or lose, it will be the three of us taking your calls, hearing the audio, talking about the Chiefs either losing a game that I will be surprised by a loss in, or heading to a Super Bowl. So I'll talk to you tomorrow night, we'll talk to you Sunday night, and of course, we'll talk to you again here at 4 o'clock on Monday. Until then, bye, Mom!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.